You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. To try and give you some perspective of what's going on the ground in Haiti right now, you're about to hear a clip from just yesterday, the 19th of January. The only operational hospital unit in Haiti now remains the Israeli field hospital unit. I'm going to translate what one of the Israeli doctors had to say about a child that was born in Haiti in the midst of this great tragedy. Said, we brought her in at around 3 a.m. We brought her into this room, which is our delivery room, which is excellent. It's essentially like any delivery room, even though it's in a soccer field. And she gave birth a normal delivery, cute, healthy baby. Essentially, everything went well. And that is it. Although, one of the exciting parts was when the person who accompanied her here came in after the birth to bless her. And he said he thought that the baby should be named Israel. And the mother was really happy. And so they named him that as a way to remember the first baby that was born in the IDF field hospital in Haiti during this tragedy. So there you have it. It's a matter of history. The first new life to come into Haiti after that tragedy. The first child born in the tragically stricken country of Haiti is named Israel. Hallelujah. It's a matter of history. The first child born in Haiti after the great tragic earthquake is named Israel. No matter where the disaster occurs, Israel somehow seems to get there, get organized, get things done, and help people before many of the other nations get off the ground. It doesn't make any difference if the tragedy is in India or Pakistan or Turkey or Haiti. I remember when we had such a record biblical proportion drought here in Cyprus, and forest fires were threatening the destruction of the whole country. A call for help went out to all the nations. Only Israel responded, and they turned the tide in stopping those horrendous fires. You need to hear this clip from CNN, of all places, telling you what's really going on the ground now in Haiti.
Our field hospitals are desperately trying to fill the void for badly needed medical care in Haiti, but they are facing some very difficult challenges right now, as we heard earlier on CNN's newsroom with Kira Phillips.
CNN senior medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen is there. She's joining us from a hospital in Port-au-Prince. Elizabeth, I was listening to your reports, and it's frustrating for doctors as they're saving people, but they're not always able to keep them alive.
Right, exactly, Kira. They're so frustrated. These people come out of the rubble, and the problem is, within a couple of days, their wounds develop gangrene unless they get the treatments that they need. I'm at an extremely rudimentary hospital where they are forced to deliver very basic care. These doctors and nurses work so hard. They're sleeping on the floor with the patients. And but the question that's on their lips now is they want to know, where is that American government hospital? When will it be built so that they can send patients to it? they're desperately looking for a place to get this young man to have surgery because he needs much more than what they can do here. So we lent Dr. Poost our satellite phone so that he could try to call some people, calling anyone he can think of to get to a more sophisticated hospital. If you don't get him to a better hospital tonight,
right,
what's going to happen to him?
He would die.
Families are obviously going to be upset. They've been sitting here with their loved ones who they were so excited to see alive, only now to watch them die a slow, painful death from their rotting flesh because the infections are out of control and they need surgery. I've been here since Thursday. No one except the Israeli hospital has taken any of our patients.
I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed at what's here. This is like another world compared to the other hospital. Imaging department. I mean, imaging. My God, they have machines here. They have actual operating rooms, and it's just amazing. What's the machine?
The respiratory machine.
It's a ventilator?
Ventilator and monitor. Ventilator, monitor, suction, and oxygen.
I mean, they don't have this at the little hospital that I came from. So the Israelis have set up a field hospital. Have the Americans, has the American government set up a field hospital?
Currently not yet.
The Israelis came from the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm. It's a frustrating thing that I really can't explain.
Yeah, I said it's something that makes you almost embarrassed to be an American.
The situation is beyond desperate at this point. The disaster was the quake, but this is the disaster that's following in its wake. And these patients were so thankful to have lived through the quake, and now they're slowly dying in these hospitals. We're desperate.
Now, I've been texting back and forth with these for this American hospital that's supposed to be up. They've been saying for days that it would be up any time. And the last text I have from him says, we hope to have the hospital on the road soon. In other words, they hope to have the hospital up and operating soon. Kira?
Wow. What about the supplies there where you are now? Do they have enough to get by at the moment? What's the need?
No, Kira, they have a lot of supplies, but they don't have everything they need, and they don't always have the right supplies. For example, doctors here tell me that for about 200 patients, they have two blood pressure cuffs. And so they were sort of excited when they found three boxes. These are blood pressure cuffs. We've all seen them before. But then you'll notice that there's no pump. You know, the thing they pump to get the blood pressure, there's no pump. So these are completely useless to them. They also were sent this. This is a kit to do open heart surgery. They're not doing open heart surgery at this hospital. No way. So this is useless to them. Plus, it expired last year. So they don't quite have what they need. They're also missing oxygen, which is huge.
Wow. Well, that's definitely great information to know as people are sending supplies. Elizabeth, you need to double check everything to make sure that needs are met properly. You don't want to waste any time, money, energy into things like that. That's for sure when they can use other things. Elizabeth Cohen, great job for us. Thank you so much.
That pretty much covers what I had as far as what's happening on the ground in Haiti. But over here in the Middle East, it's mostly Islamic media, and it is so sad to see the Islamic media accusing Israel of harvesting body parts in Haiti, just like the Muslim nations are accusing the United States of using the tragedy in Haiti to take over, military takeover of the country of Haiti. It's sad. The guy with the middle name Hussein really hasn't done much about it. It's sad. So for those of you who are interested, I'd like to give you a little bit of on the ground in a community known as Hebron, where the father of the Hebrew nation settled and the term Hebrew originated, and the brave Israelis that are trying to live in this place called Hebron.
Our enemies are trying to attack us wherever we are. And I believe that if we won't be strong in Hebron, where the roots are, where we started as a nation, Jews won't be safe nowhere in the world.
Our community is like a big family. People stay together in very difficult conditions and times. We know the past enlightens us, and we build the future, especially here in Hebron.
When we came here, we felt that this place is the place where we as a family, as a young couple, can connect to the roots of what we are. The kind of spirit we never found any other place.
Well, 70 families, today about 500 people
and another 200 yeshiva students. We live in four neighborhoods, but we also feel like one big family.
Before our first child was born, we were living in Yerushalayim. But when she was born, we wanted to bring our children up in a place. They won't just hear about what it means to sacrifice for Am Israel, but really actually get the chance to do something special for the sake of all of Am Israel, all over the world, not just in Israel. And not just speak about those values, but actually live them and pass them to the next generation. We are 70 families, and every empty apartment is already occupied by a Jewish family. I believe that when the years will come, the whole Hebron will be Jewish, and there won't be a problem of a place, and I can live with my children and my grandchildren here in Hebron next to the cave of Machpelah.
I think the main thing that my kids are getting growing up here and being here as children, they'll have a knowledge of what really is being a Jew, what Emunah is really about. Living in Hebron is a special way of life. It's a new kind of Jew being raised here. It's not only talking about it, it's not only learning about it, it's being it. Being a Jew in a situation that isn't simple. Everybody that lives here has to deal with things that nobody in any other place has any even feeling of what's going on here, what happens here at night, what happens here in the days. And you have to believe that Hashem is protecting us and is giving us his hand, and we're walking side by side with the Avot and the Imahot. And I guess that's a feeling, and that's a kind of education that children cannot get in any other place.
When I see my children going about in the streets of Hebron as free Jews, as proud Jews, and they do it so naturally, they have this big zchut to have been born here in Hebron. They give me this spirit. They give me this strength to go on living here. They feel, and I feel with them, there's no other place I can live besides Hebron.
We had a tremendous simcha here a couple of months ago when Oriya Pas gave birth to a little girl. She and her husband Yitzik named the baby Renana Nechama. At the end of March, the Pas's first baby, Shalhevet, was murdered here in the Avraham Avinu by Arab terrorists. And that was a very big tragedy for not only the Pas family, but for the entire community here. And when Oriya gave birth to another little girl, the community was just beside itself. It was just such a tremendous simcha.
We are in an eternal chain of Jewish existence. To raise children here in Hebron, it's a very special experience. Our children grow here. They learn here, they go to school here. They have the bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah right here. And, Baruch Hashem, they get married here. And for me, as a father of a daughter that get married in Hebron, Baruch Hashem, it's a sign. The chinuch, the children get here, Baruch Hashem, is a good education. And Baruch Hashem, we have a list of new families, of young couples who want to join us here in Hebron. Well, we don't have a place to absorb them all, but Be'ezrat Hashem, we are going to build new homes for new Jewish couples and families. And young children will play here, will laugh here, will sing here Jewish songs, and continue the very long heritage of our fathers and mothers in the city of Hebron.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy and Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.